I want to say, first of all, thank you, church, for sending the money to go towards the gospel rig. And the sooner we get that money raised, the sooner we can get this big trailer out of your parking lot. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Hey, wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. I hate that and we're still having issues with it, but I've already found a buyer if we could get it to actually working. Amen. And so you be praying about that. We are $3,143 away from our next goal of $30,000 for the rig. And as y'all know, we are needing $150,000, and that's a lot of money. But y'all know that God is able. But you also know, by looking around in this church, you know the effects of the gospel tent meeting or ministry. And so I don't have to go into deep detail about what it's done in this area, in this region, and even in this church right now. Amen. So we bless the Lord for that. So thank y'all for sending. I think it was like $503 and some change, something like that. Y'all are the reason I have $3. It's $3,143. Amen. Been praying for $7 this whole time to round that thing off. Amen. Gets hard trying to remember that. Amen. But thank y'all so much. And Brother Ruttman said this morning, he's talking about bluegrass and how the grass in heaven will be blue. What if I showed you in Scripture that all the grass in heaven is going to be blue? Could I show y'all that real quick? Revelation chapter 8 verse 7 says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." So that means there's only going to be bluegrass left. Amen. So, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 15 tonight. I'm so excited tonight to preach. Last week we were in Jubilee at our home church, and I tell you, by Tuesday, you have three services a day and typically three preachers per service. That's a lot of preaching. And by Tuesday night, I was preaching in my sleep. And I'm not talking about like off the wall stuff. I was preaching things that the Lord had given me. I was preaching it in my sleep. Amen. So I'm ready to preach. Amen. And looking forward to what God's going to do. I echo Brother Ruttman, what he said. I'm no longer going to apologize for asking people to go. Amen. And I'm not going to apologize for that. We did that for two generations, and look how it ended up. Amen. Well, we don't need to pressure people. We need to let God call. I believe God is calling. We just ain't, nobody's answering the phone. Amen. And so you be praying for us this week. Pray, and on our table out there, we have the Who Will Go Missions Camp. And it does not say youth camp, okay? I did not say youth camp. I said Who Will Go Missions Camp, okay? That I'm not. We're not. We prayed and sought the Lord. It was going to be 12 to 25, and I started having all these younger families that wanted to come, that maybe they're in that late 20s, early 30s spot, or maybe they're in their, you know, young couples in their 70s. Amen? And I started having folks tell me they wanted to come, and I'm like, why are we putting an age limit on this? Right. Why does it have to be a youth camp? So Brother Ruttman and I are going to be preaching, Lord willing, each night. Every morning we'll have a, and I'm going to talk about this through the week. I hope it's all right. Through the week, through the mornings, Tuesday morning through Friday morning, we'll have a different mission board director coming and preaching about what to expect on deputation, what to expect when you get to the field, what pastors are looking for in missionaries coming to their church, just practical help. And then every morning, Brother Bob is going to take an hour and tell us about the underground church and life experience. And I hope he shouts and cries a whole lot every morning. Amen. Amen. Is that fair? Every single morning. And then in the afternoon, Brother Matt Stallman and his team will be coming, and they're going to be doing missions training. So third world missions training about trekking, about survival, about medical, field medical, about all sorts of things that you may need. Amen. And even if you never go into missions, if you're a redneck, you ought to enjoy that kind of stuff. Amen. You know, how to get water out of a cactus, stuff like that. Amen. But I never would have dreamed. Years ago, I watched my dad disintegrate, really, from this strong, strapping man. He had three heart attacks, and in pastor and Baptist, you know, that'll do that to you. Amen. Can we turn, y'all can laugh at that. Can we turn these fans off? I'm going to lose my voice. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Do we have to like turn each one off? Or
we do that,
are y'all okay with that? Is everybody all right? Amen. I want to have a voice. But I wanted a hobby, and I am horrible at golf. Okay? You know how you tee up, and you're supposed to stand at a 90 degree, like right here, for it to go. In order for me to get a ball to go straight, I slice so bad. The hole's here. I'm supposed to be standing here. The tee's here. I would hit the ball from right here, and it would go right over there where I needed it to go. All right? Amen. But I started backpacking and learning skills and training. And this was before missions entered into my life. I had no idea what God was doing, but God was preparing me. Because there's times I go into the bush and there's no electricity and there's no fire. And now missionaries are calling and asking us to come just because of the skills that God has given us when I was just needing a hobby. Amen. Now, I'm not as good as your pastor. He's a lot better at it than I am. Whichever one of us it is. Amen. But now we're going to be getting to teach another generation these skills. Amen. That they may get to go and use on the foreign field. Amen. And that is, man, it's exciting. So get that. You say, how old's too old? Well, I know Brother Charles Henderson. How many of y'all know Brother Charles Henderson? Brother Charles Henderson. Amen. He spent 47 years in the Baja Peninsula. Came home, buried his wife, buried two sons, and he's about to turn 84 next month. And he called me the other day and said, I've got a couple of doctor's appointments, and I'm heading back to the Baja. 84. None of us have an excuse. Amen. Luke 15, let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's Word. Y'all going to have to wake up and say a word or something. Amen. And if you don't like women testifying in church, you probably don't want to go to heaven. If you don't like women, if they need to be silent, can I say something about that? You got me riled up earlier. Luke 14, the context is prophesying and speaking in tongues. And the verse, 1 Corinthians 14:34, let women learn in silence and subjection in the church. That's the speak. They are not permitted to speak. That the context is speaking in tongues, not testifying. By the way, singing, speaking, it's just with a melody. If women can't testify in church, they don't need to sing in church. By the way, in 1 Corinthians 11, God gave, if the head, the pastor, allows the woman, a woman could pray in church. Is that speaking? Brother Hebner, help me, please. That's speaking. Amen. So I just believe in the Bible. Amen. I'm glad you said that because you got me fired up before I got up here. I love it. Amen. Don't y'all love your pastor? Amen. Amen. My dear twin brother. Amen.
Amen.
Don't get nervous. Amen. That was a little... Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get to missions here. Y'all leave me alone, all right? Let's go to Luke 15, verse number 11. It said, all I've heard this preached, so have I. Amen. Let's see if God will put a fresh touch on a familiar text tonight. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Isn't it amazing that the boy left the farm because he got tired of working in his daddy's fields? And then he ends up serving a citizen of the far country and working in worse fields and not getting paid for it? Sin, listen, young people, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. And the grass may be greener on the other side, but it's because it's growing over a septic tank.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man, not even that citizen, gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many, look at this, hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare, but I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Isn't it amazing that even when we get out in the hog pen, we think we can still work our way back into the graces of the Father? If you notice, when he gets home, the overwhelming mercy and grace of the Father keeps him from ever saying anything about being a hired servant. Y'all see that? We cannot work our way back to the farm. But we sure can repent and believe. Amen. I'm trying to get to the message. Y'all leave me alone. And no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And if Brother Blue was here, he would say this next one's a Holy Ghost conjunction. Amen. But the father said to his servants, I want you to notice that word, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. They must have been really cutting a rug if he heard the dancing. Somebody say amen right there. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear Lord. I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for the wonderful preaching of the Word of God we've already heard today. Thank you for moving in our midst today. I'm glad that a missions conference or Who Will Go conference doesn't have to be dead. I'm thankful that you are interested in this probably than anything else that we do in a year. I pray, dear God, that you fill us, you use us, and you give us liberty. And I pray, dear God, that you would touch hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Might be seated. Tonight, I was studying this just a week or so ago, and I began to notice this term servants. Now, I've heard messages on the prodigal son. I've heard messages on the self-righteous son. I've preached messages on both. I've heard messages exclusively on the father. Preached those myself. I even heard a message one time about the citizen and him being a type of Satan, amen, in the far country. And it was magnificent. But Brother Ruttman, and I've even heard a guy get up and preach one time about what wasn't in this story. You know, he preached an hour on things that weren't even in the Bible. It's a blessing, amen. I saw a commentary a book in my pastor's office the other day, and it said, the preaching of the Bible. And he said, isn't that a novel idea? Amen. Preach an hour on what's not in the Bible. Anybody could do that. Joel Osteen does it every Sunday, amen. But you hear me tonight. I begin to notice this character that's often overlooked, not just in our text, but I'd say they're overlooked in our lives as well. In verses number, 17, 19, 22, and 26, I see that the Holy Ghost uses the word servants. I begin to get interested in this, and it's mentioned in our text four times. And how have I been in my whole life? How is this such a mentioned word or person in our text, and they're not ever preached about? Why are they so overlooked? See, we everybody wants to be a servant until people start treating us that way. These servants don't have a name. These servants don't have a reputation. These servants don't have a resume. We just see them as servants. And I begin to dig in this, and the servants show us
in this text, I believe, show us a progression of what a servant should be to the Father. It's a progression. I want to show you this tonight. And I want to preach on the servant's heart. The servant's heart. I want to give you the 3 points. And then we'll come through and preach them. The first servant we're going to talk about is in verse 17 and 19. It's a servant. We're going to talk about the wandering servants. And then in verse 22, we want to deal with the willing servants. And then, in verse number 26, I want to deal with the wooing servants. So let's look first of all in verse 17. The Bible says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?' And then in verse 19, he says, 'And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" And I've already alluded to it while I was reading the text, but this young man, when he first came to himself, it wasn't about necessarily getting right with the father. It was about he was out of food and he was hungry. Brother Richard, I would even say he was facing a little worldly sorrow when he first came to himself. But when he got back to the farm, or almost to the farm, I believe godly sorrow took over. And he realized he couldn't work himself back to the farm, but it was going to take the Father to get him back to the farm. Can I get an amen? The closer he got to the farm, it wasn't about the Father's blessings. It was about the Father's grace. Amen? It wasn't so much about the Father's goods. It was about his goodness. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? And so the closer we get back to home, we won't even want to be this kind of servant. Amen. Right. Y'all follow me. Don't fall out. Hear me out before you throw me out. Amen. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. It's amazing you said that earlier, because I'm so nervous now. I can't do Greek. Amen. I can barely speak English. Amen. Matter of fact, this isn't even English. It's Appalachian American. Amen. Amen. Appalachia. My grandmother. Y'all ever heard of ash potato candy? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, one person. Have you ever heard of it? Irish potato candy. Okay, everybody? So my grandmother's got such an accent. My whole life until after we got married, I thought it was ash potato candy. But it's not. It's Irish potato candy. So sometimes I need an interpreter. Amen. I'm no Greek scholar, but as I begin to study, and this is very important, every usage. Now, we got the verse 17 and 19 where it's hired servants, and then the other two times servants is used in our text. They're all four different Greek words. Hired servants is one Greek word, is misthios, and I'll get to the other two in a minute. Mystios is this hired servant. The idea of this, all I did was did an Englishman search. I can't even read Greek. Somebody say amen right there. But hired servants is employed for hire, a wage earner. That's what it is. It is the hired help. A hired servant doesn't live on the farm. A hired servant has no allegiance, no accountability, no access, No love towards the Father. All a hired servant is somebody you call when there's a job nobody else may want to do. They call them when they may need a specialty. But this hired servant wasn't attached to the farm. He wasn't attached to the Father. This hired servant, he basically went where the money was. Whoever was the give him the most. This hired servant went to wherever it would benefit him the most. Are y'all with me now? This hired servant was all about what he could get out of something. It was all about the goods to the hired servant. It was all about a higher wage to the hired servant. And this man, this wandering servant, he would go from farm to farm. He didn't have nobody over him. He didn't have anybody telling him what to do. I mean, he probably started a podcast or something. Amen. And he didn't want anybody putting any binders on him. He didn't want to be identified with the farm. He didn't want to be identified with the father. This man was out for what he could get out of the farm. Isn't that what most Christians are living tonight? They get saved. They get delivered from the far country. Hey, they're on their way to heaven. They go and visit the farm every once in a while when it benefits them. When a loved one's dying or when cancer comes or when they need a little pick-me-up. I mean, they come around the farm and they go to the Father when everything's falling apart or they need a payday. Hey, but neighbor, that's not biblical Christianity. Hey, you might be saved and live like that, but you won't be a Christian and live like that. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, I lived the 8 years of my life, the wandering servant, here, there, and yonder. Well, I only came to God when I could get something out of it. But it was a great, glad day of my life when I said, I want to go to the farm to stay. I want the accountability. I want the access. Hey, I want to be identified with the farm. Amen. There's a wandering servant. I remember growing up, and God called me to preach when I was 12, and I did not understand the seriousness of it. Nobody told me. I'm glad God called me to preach when I was young, but nobody told me the seriousness of it. I knew nothing of the word sanctification. I was in a gospel-only atmosphere, and thank God for the gospel. Matter of fact, the preacher, my pastor, childhood pastor, I called him this week, and I told him, thank you again. I probably do it about every couple of years. I called and said, thank you for preaching the gospel to me. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for being faithful. But for 8 years of my life, I wondered. I didn't have any identification. I just went to the farm when I needed something. Can I get an amen? I had three messages, and I'd rotate them and maybe tweak a little thing or two when somebody called. I didn't take salvation seriously. I didn't take the call of God seriously. Oh, but the first night that God allowed me to preach this message, it was on my daddy's platform there at his church. And on my daddy's platform, there's a long altar bench that was from the old building. And on March 22nd, 2008, I remember getting on that altar with my friend, Brother Grant Hardiman. I remember getting this blank piece of paper and signing the bottom, sliding it across the altar. Y'all have heard me tell this before. Oh, but that day I went from being a wandering servant to being something more. Not that I'm anything, Brother Jonathan, but I said, God, I want to be identified with you. God, I want your accountability. God, I want your love. God, I want your reproof and your rebuke. God, I want it all. Amen. I wonder what you are tonight. That's the point of this message. Where are you at in this text? Which servant are you? I see the wandering servant. But number two, y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. I see number two, the willing servant. Verse 22, let's read the verse. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Do you notice that? They knew what the best robe was. And they knew where the best robe was. And they had complete access to the best robe. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. Do y'all get that? He told the servants to go and get the jewelry. Now, I don't think he would have ever told a hired servant to do that. Somebody that's just out for what they can get out of. Somebody that don't want to live on the farm. Somebody that don't want to be marked and identified. I ain't telling them where my jewels are. I'm not telling them where my precious things are. But you know what he did? He shared with the willing servant of where all his precious things were. That willing servant knew exactly what belonged to him, where it was, and had access to it. Watch this. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Do you notice it doesn't say sandals? By the way, I looked it up. It's two different words. Before anybody says, well, that's probably just how the Holy Ghost had it translated right there. Nope. Sandals is a whole other Greek word. Shoes only went on the best. Let me show you how well this servant knew this family. He knew what size shoes that boy needed. I don't think he had floppy clown shoes on. I don't think he had shoes. Well, that's a little tight.
No, that servant knew the Father, knew the farm, had the heart of the Father so much that he knew exactly what size shoes belonged to that boy. I'd say that's a little bit more than a hired servant. I ain't even got to what the Greek word is behind the servant here. But we already know a little bit more about this servant, don't we? Now watch this. The word servant, if Brother Berman Cape was here, he'd say that he brought that boy a rib and a Reebok and a ring and a robe. Amen. A Reebok is a shoe. Amen. That's what Brother Cape would say if he was here. And I want us to see the word servants here is doulos. Some of you may have heard that one. I did not ever heard misthios, but doulos is a pretty popular word. If you go and do an Englishman search through the New Testament, you'll find out that the Holy Ghost uses that as bond servant or bond slave. All right? Can I define bond servant for y'all? Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 15. I know I'm teaching a little bit tonight, but I want to help you tonight. This, in God's Word, makes no mistakes. Can I get an amen right there? Deuteronomy chapter number 15. If you're there, say amen. If you're not even bothering to turn, say amen. I'm just kidding. You don't have to. Now listen to this. Deuteronomy 15 verse 12. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years... then in the seventh year thou shalt let them go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally. By the way, the only time it's okay to be a liberal is when you're given. Out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. And of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, that thou shalt give unto him. Now, let me say this. Here is a man that owes another man something. And when this man's debt is paid, he doesn't just get to go, he gets to go loaded. All right? Now, watch this. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. So he's tying it all together. Don't you remember back when you was out in the world? Don't you remember when you were out in Egypt? Don't you remember when you were in bondage and I set you free? Now I'm about to shout. And it shall be. Now this is talking about the servant. And if it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thy house because he is well with thee. What he's saying is, yeah, he used to be in bondage, but it was better at the Father's house, it was better at the farm than it was when he was out living on his own. Here it is. This man that loves the farmer so much because he owed things and he had things against him, and the Father did away with all of that, and now the Father is letting him go at liberty. And liberty doesn't mean this servant goes and does whatever he wants to. Liberty means that he loves that farmer so much that he comes back to the farmer, and out of willingness, not command, not begrudgingly, not because he had to, out of willingness, this bondservant comes back and submits himself to the Father. That is biblical liberty. Then thou shalt take an awl. It's the only time it's okay to pierce your ear in the Bible as a man. Every other time it's a reproach for a man to have a pierced ear. Every time. Somebody say amen. Thrust it through his ear under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also under thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee. For he, listen, watch this, this is amazing. For he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee. I ain't making this up. It's right there, Brother Bob. This fella who had all of these things against him and he couldn't pay his own way. The Father stepped in. He took over this man's debt and this man's serving him. And all of a sudden, it comes to a time. This, the Father, the farmer, he says, you can go. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to be good to you whether you stay or whether you go. And that man decides he loves the farmer so much that he's going to sign up to stay. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. And then it starts to change him, not just on the inside, not just his possessions, but how he looks. He gets that all and he puts it to the doorpost and he shoves that all so everybody in town, they know that this isn't a hired servant. This servant lives at the farm. This servant has accountability. This servant has access. This servant has love. This servant, he has accountability there at the farm. This servant loves his master. And this kind of servant is worth double a hired servant. I'm about to shout. Have y'all got this yet? There was not just an inward proof that this man loved his master. There wasn't just financial and substantial proof that this man was loved and loved his master. But now, out of his own free will, this man has been marked in the ear forever. It was an eternal mark on the outside of him that showed that he loved his master and his master loved him. I wonder if there's a mark on the outside of us. And I ain't talking about going and getting no agape tattoo. Somebody say amen. That's dumber than a box of hammers. Somebody say amen right there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do we live a life as a willing servant that people know how good our master is to us and how much we love our master? The Bible said it, not Brother Chris. That kind of servant is worth double of the other. Y'all still with me, ain't you? I can't remember what verse I got to. It's not hard under the, I already finished it. I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I didn't miss nothing. I'm so excited I want to make up stuff to preach right here. Doulos is one who gives himself up to another's will. He's devoted to another to disregard of one's own self-interest. He could not do... Here's the thing. In a day when everybody's wanting to use the grace of God so they can go do whatever they want to, here we find an example of, because of the grace of God, we don't want to do what we want to. We want to do everything the Father wants us to. He knew what the Father... He had access to the Father's closet. He knew the size of the brother's shoes. He had the key to the jewelry box, Brother James. See, the Father's not going to trust you with those big things until you'll trust Him with your life. Why would you expect God to do anything with your life until you're willing to give it to Him? Not begrudgingly. Not because you have to, but because even if you go away, He's still going to be good to you. It's right there in the text, Brother Richard. Even His wayward children are treated better than the devil's children. That ought to not make us want to go and live however we want to. It ought to make us want to live however He wants us to. Is there an example of this in the Scripture? Well, of course there is. Look at Philippians 2 with me. Would you go there with me? Don't get ahead of me now. Y'all quit shouting until we get there. I read the verse. Everybody already shouting. Getting ahead of me. Genesis, Exodus, Philippians. It's right there afterwards. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So who are we talking about? Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation,
and took upon him the form of a servant. Does anybody want to guess what Greek word is behind the word servant right there? It's doulos. So here we have the one that didn't owe a dime becoming one that owed everything. Here we have the one that was perfect and sinless and spotless, and instead of staying in heaven and doing what he wanted to, he came here and took upon him the form of a servant. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hey, neighbor, Jesus Christ loved the Father so much. Hey, he had access to all the jewels. He had access to all the goods. He knew exactly the heart of the Father. And when he came to hear, he took upon himself the form of a servant, a bond servant. Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross? That's that outward mark. Isn't it amazing that Jesus himself is the door? So the door was nailed to the door to make an outward mark. Hey, then guess what? God loves us so, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Christ was nailed. Christ had the all shoved through him. Hey, for us. Feel like preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Here in his love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. He sent his Son to be a propitiation of our sins. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we might be made the sons of God. He was marked the door. He wasn't just the door. He was the bondservant. He was marked for us. Hey, if you want to know how we ought to live, it's like Christ. He's our perfect example of this right here. That when we don't want to, we ought to anyways. Do you think Jesus wanted to die? Do you think he wanted to be massacred and mutilated? Hey, that wasn't something anybody wants to sign up for. But I'll tell you why he did it. Before the foundation of the earth, he saw me and you. But more than that, he saw the heart of the Father. He loved the Father. Therefore, he loved us. And he came for us. Amen. We don't serve God because we have to. We serve God because we get to. Oh, but neighbor, if you ever look past that, I love sinners. I really do love sinners. But you know who I love more? I love the Father. And if you ever start doing what you're doing, not for others, but for the Father, you'll never change. Amen. Amen. I'm not doing this. I don't go to Papua New Guinea. I love those people. But love of people will run out. Praise God. I've been a Baptist since 9 months before I was born. I know love for people can run out. Somebody say amen. Amen. Y'all have had to put up with me enough. You know love for people will run out. But if you'll get your heart focused on the Father's heart, that his love will never run out. I wonder tonight, are you one of these willing servants? Or are you still wandering? And one of these wilderness servants, wandering to it. I want to look at the last one. This is probably my favorite. I know y'all going to have a hard time believing that. But I want to look at the wooing servant. He comes in our text. And listen, I am giving y'all Greek, the Greek word behind it. I'm showing the Englishman searching to find it. But you don't have to have the Greek to understand your Bible. If you just read this text, you could see there's a difference in these servants. Can I get an amen right there? Verse 26. The brothers outside. And we all know that the brothers are a picture of Israel. Can I get an amen? The whole point of this story of in Luke 15, these stories, is to show the Father's love for sinners. And how the Pharisees have a wrong idea of God. Amen. And that he was willing to go after those sinners, but he's also willing to go after the Pharisees who were equally as bad sinners. And this chapter ends like the book of Jonah. Gentiles getting right and a Jew sitting on the outside.
mad. And just this little context there, that's the context. Say, was he saved or lost? I showed this to Brother Ruttman and Brother John earlier. I don't know if he was saved or lost, but look what the Bible says in verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again. So he's lost. And you had to quicken who were dead. So he was lost. But that's not the end of the verse. And was lost and is found. So he was saved. And he was lost. I'm just taking what the Bible says. He can be either one.
Amen.
I'm just reading the Bible. Y'all get mad. Take it up with Brother Richard after church. Amen. Our complaint department. Amen. I love the Bible, don't y'all? It solves our arguments all the time. Amen. It'll ruin a good song and it'll ruin a good argument. This word servants in verse 26, as we see this elder son on the outside, it is the Greek word pais, P-A-I-S. And pais is most often used as either son or maiden in the New Testament. And it's even used twice to define Jesus as the Son of God. Okay? So this is the idea that this servant has been in the house for a while. This servant is close to the Father. This servant, this wooing servant, loves the Father so much that he's willing to leave the party and go outside and tell those that haven't made it to the party yet that what the Father has done for the prodigal. I'm about to have another spell, Brother Archie. I said there's a servant in our text that's willing. He loves the Father so much. He knows the Father's heart so much that the Father's not yet satisfied. The Father's thrilled and merry that the prodigal's come home. But that's not all the sons the Father has. So there's one servant that's willing to leave the ribeyes, and he's willing to leave the dancing and the music, and he's willing to go out on the porch and say, "Hey, everybody out there, the son came home and he should have died. But instead of killing the son, the father killed the calf instead. Hey, did you hear? Hey, the son didn't have to die because the calf died. Hey, come on into the party. You don't have to stay outside. The father loves you too. Hey, come on in."
Amen.
The wooing servant is willing to leave the, shall I say it, the comfort and the luxury and the fun and the fellowship of the farm, because they fall in love with the Father so much. As a willing servant, they fall in love with the Father so much. They've been around Him so long that they realize that there's more of the Father's sons outside than there are inside. And they're willing to go outside and stand on the porch and say, "Hey, you don't have to stay outside. What He's done for others, He'll do for you." Didn't you hear? The son should have died. The father had a biblical, Levitical right, a Mosaic right, law right, to take that boy outside the city and stone him to death. But instead of killing the son, He killed the calf. Why don't you come on in? And may I say tonight, neighbor, that's missions. People that get to the point where they love the Father so much and they know the Father's heart that, yeah, He's happy that there's some that's come in the house. But there's a whole lot more outside the house than there are inside the house. And the Father loves those in the outside the house as much as He loves those inside the house. And the Father is just looking for a servant that knows that about His heart so much that He's willing to leave the comfort and the joy and the fellowship of this and go out there and say, "Don't you know that we were all supposed to die, but He killed the Son instead? We were all supposed to go to hell. Our sins were as filthy, our righteousness was as filthy rags in the sight of God. And He should have killed us, But instead, he killed the Son. And he wants you to come in. What else would put... do you think a 23-year-old young man that has a lot of potential wants to go to Siberia because it's fun? You're going to have to grow a beard. All right? You may not be old enough yet, brother. I don't know. I couldn't grow one until I was 24. All right? Do you think that's a fun place? 6 months of winter, I'm guessing. 6 months of winter. And I know no place is easy. Do you think that's easy? You think, woohoo, we get... What makes a young man want to do that? He gets to listen into the heart of the Father more than he listens to his own heart. Have you ever met a Muslim? You know, Muslim women aren't even allowed to look at him, or they could get beat at home. It's just the truth. Am I telling it right? Did you know that? He didn't sign up. You know, where are you from, brother?
North Carolina.
He's going to New York City. Square peg, round hole. You think it's going to be... No. Do you think he could have done something else with it? Yes! 100 times yes. But what compels a man and a family to do something like that? What makes them want to leave the farm? What makes them want to go and leave the ribeye and the dancing and the music and go stand out on the porch for people that may never even come in? Because he knows the heart of the Father. I've known this crazy fella for about a decade almost now, I guess. And I love him. And he challenges me. And I think we could put a shock collar on him and couldn't keep him out of Africa. If they shut the boats and the planes down, I think he'd swim. Float or something.
I'll find a way. I'll
swim. Why? Have y'all watched any of his stuff on Facebook? The church God gave him up there? The ministry God's given him here? And we can't keep him out of Africa. I would really like for him to stay here.
Absolutely.
Why would he leave the farm? Why would he leave the ribeye, medium rare? No need for sauce. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Steak comes with sauce built in if you wouldn't burn it.
Yes.
Don't need A1. Blasphemy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Comes with it built in. Because he knows the heart of the Father. And he knows that the Father still has sons out there that need to come in. What about you tonight? I'm not leaving you out, Brother Cromwell. He's going all over. What makes these men and these ladies, what compels a man to go to China? I mean, a Caucasian fella as such as Brother Bob. What makes him, when he gets kicked out, he goes to the Philippines?
Yeah, that's right.
What makes him, when he leaves there, he comes to probably one of the hardest places I've ever been, east of the Mississippi? But Archie, because he's gotten close enough to the heart of the Father that he knows that the Father still has souls. He still has them on the outside that need to come in. What about you tonight? Where are you at in this text? I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to ever be again. I don't want to be a hired servant again.
Amen.
I don't want to be the wandering servant. And I believe the willing servant is just as admirable as the wooing servant, because you know what? We need some to stay at the farm and serve the Father. But I'm convinced that there is always a place when you leave these walls to be a wooing servant. It's just... are you willing or not? Everybody gets mad that people volunteer. Well, last time I checked, Isaiah volunteered.
Yes, sir.
Last time I checked, Abraham volunteered.
Sure.
He said, here am I.
Yes, sir.
multiple times in his life. There is a here I am or here am I in Abraham's life. Samuel, Isaiah, Abraham, that's pretty good company. Jesus volunteered. I wonder if you ever have. See, God, you say, I'm so scared God will send me across the street, the seas. He ain't going to send somebody across the seas that won't go across the street. Amen. If you're a preacher in here and you ain't preaching, it ain't God's fault. Nobody's ever had to be called to a street corner. Yeah. They're there.
Right. Amen.
What are you waiting on? You ever gotten an altar and volunteered? So here, you say, well, I ain't heard a voice. Quit being charismatic. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Quit being charismatic. Get down here in the altar and take the next step. But what if the next step is Zimbabwe? It ain't going to be the next step. It'll take a few steps between here and Zimbabwe. I don't know why I always use Zimbabwe, but there we go. What are you waiting on? Why not you? Why don't you come and volunteer? Or maybe it's that you're so far away from the heart of the Father that you're more concerned about your substance and what you can get out of Him than what you can take to other people. Which one are you tonight? The wandering servant? The willing servant? Or the willing servant? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to draw out an invitation tonight, but I do want to ask you, are you willing to come? Say, God, what would you have me to do to fulfill the Great Commission? I hope tonight that you've examined yourselves and asked the Lord, which servant am I? And see, here's the thing, as I was preaching that, you know what servant you are. You know which one you are. Maybe you're that wandering servant. Not, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've got to get over. You got to come to terms that the calf died so the son didn't have to. Maybe you need to come be saved tonight. Maybe you've been wandering around. Maybe tonight God's asking you to go. Maybe tonight you just need to come and volunteer. Let's all stand tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I have decided to follow Jesus. Would you come? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Which servant are you tonight? The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. Come on. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. These have come. I wonder if more would. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Decided to follow Jesus. Had decided to follow Jesus. I had decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Do you have the heart of the Father tonight? Are you marked? When people see you out and about, do they look at you and say, there's something different about them? They have a different master than I do. Are you just wandering tonight? Are you just going about to get what you can from the Father? Are you trying to do what you can for the Father? Which one are you tonight? The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. Would you come? No turning back. Oh, glory to God. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Come on. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Maybe you're not there yet tonight. Maybe you don't really know what God wants from your life. Why don't you come talk to Him about it? Why don't you come and volunteer? I don't know the hearts of these that have come, and several have come. I'm sure there's more that God's looking for to volunteers. Amen. Why don't you come? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Sing it. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Pastor stepped out. I want y'all to sit down if you will. This is what God put on my heart. I feel like Brother Bob may have something. Brother Bob, can you, and you do whatever God puts on your heart, but you've told me about that specific time when God called you and what He did in your heart. Would, whatever's on your heart or that, would you speak about that real quick, if you don't mind? And by the way, I'm not trying to override the pastor, but that's what the Lord put on my heart, and the pastor's doing business, so y'all don't get nervous, amen.
He mentioned when the Lord spoke to us about missions, and I was pastoring in Florida, down in Central Florida near Ocala.